talked about prayer, and we talked about a prayer of encounter, and we dug into Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. So by quick show of hands, my question for you this morning is, who actually took up the challenge and did their best to pray that daily throughout the week? Well done. How many of you, like me, found that throughout the week, like, you just be in the middle of doing something and all of a sudden there it popped up in the back of your mind and you're in the middle of some random task praying these verses and you're like, wow, I remember them. Anyone else? It's pretty cool, right? Like, it's amazing how God does that. And then I'm going, oh Lord, did you bring it to me right now? Because there's something specific in this moment I'm doing that you long to search out. Hit pause and reflect. But what a great way to have God show up in our life. And so my prayer is that you will continue to do that. But I realized that I potentially made a very horrible assumption last week. I don't like making assumptions. It's a very bad habit to get into. You know the expression, it never plays out well. I assumed that you wanted to pray. I assumed that you knew what prayer was. And I was drawn back to, as I sat in my office, these moments that I've experienced as a kid in youth ministry myself and as a youth pastor. And I didn't think I would experience the same way as an adult and pastoring adults, but I have, where I end up in a room of people and they're afraid to pray because they think they're going to do it wrong or they don't know what it is and they don't understand it. And you get this deer in headlights look. And they're like, you want me to what now with a who now when I don't even know what this is? I can't do it like you do, and I don't. And so this morning I realized that maybe we should actually take a second to have, for some of us, a refresher course, and for others of us, an introduction to what exactly is prayer, what's it about, how do you do it. And now, on a suggestion from a lovely lady in the congregation, we have some mornings like this morning that aren't so much of a sermon, they're more of a teaching moment, and so my slides have a lot of information going on them. And someone among you who is brilliant, genius, might I say, suggested that if I printed the slides off on a Sunday like that, there might be some of you who would like to take them home and dig into them and study them because it's kind of hard to keep up with the writing. So following the service, if you see Billy, the amazing, handsome sound booth friend, he has a copy of this morning's slides. You can't get them early because otherwise you're going to skip ahead, and I know you're going to cheat and you're going to zone out on me. So some of you might be frustrated with that, but I've got your number. And so you can get that after. So if it's on the slide and you're taking notes, don't worry if you want to grab the paper copy, but you can write down the extra stuff. If you have to leave early, you can nab one from Billy on your way out before you go. So please, if you think you know what prayer is, don't zone out on me right now. Don't be like, yeah, you know, it's like learning to walk. I've known this for 150 years. That way I don't signal anyone out. Just take it as an opportunity to dig deep and do some work and consider that maybe there's a possibility that there's an aspect to prayer that you might not have fully understood or engaged in. So my first observation this morning is that some of us might not even know what prayer is. There is this assumption in the Christian community that everyone prays and everyone knows what prayer is and why we do that, but I've realized in my years of ministry that that's not actually the case. To pray is actually, in its basic sense, it's our way of talking to God. It's not passive, it's a direct address, okay? When we talk to someone, it's not just sitting back and waiting. It's a two-sided engagement, okay? There is something that people call soaking. That is a very different experience. That's not quite the same as prayer. It's a different expression. When we talk about prayer in this context, we're talking about a conversation where we are directly addressing God. This communication, it allows us to express our emotions and our desires. I don't know about you, but it's kind of nice that I can tell God how I'm feeling, even though he already knows. Sometimes I have things on my chest that it probably wouldn't be good if I shared with other people. I just take them to the Lord. And he doesn't judge that because he already knew them. It's not a surprise to him. It's a chance that we just get to pour out those things before him. Communicating with God is a reflection of our belief that he's there and he's listening. Prayer is actually an expression of faith. I don't talk to people that I don't think are there. If I stood here this morning and I just started talking and none of you are in the room, that would be a little bit ridiculous, wouldn't it? I could just do that on Friday morning, and I could have stayed in bed on this beautiful Sunday morning. No, we are talking to someone who we believe is there, and our prayer life is an expression of our faith and belief that we do have a God who is listening and engaged and drawing close to us. It's our acknowledgement that God is greater and ultimately knows best. If I did not need some moral, emotional, spiritual support in life, I would not go to God, because I could work that out by myself, right? When we go to God in prayer, part of that is our acknowledgement that he knows more than we know. The scripture says his ways are higher than our ways. His purposes always prevail. And so we go to him, and in doing so, we acknowledge that he is greater than we are. Prayer is a way that we gain access to godly wisdom. There are many things that can happen in life, and we're just like, can we phone a friend? You guys remember that those episodes of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And they're like, I'm going to phone a friend. And you hope they pick the right friend. Right? You ever watch them phone the wrong friend? And the friend is like, And they spend the entire time on the other end making weird sounds because they've choked. It's like having direct access to the friend who knows all the answers to absolutely every challenge or obstacle in life. It gives us access to divine wisdom. Now, do we always get the answer? Not always. But it doesn't mean it's not available. It doesn't mean that we can't go to him and ask. It doesn't mean that he won't provide it either. When we pray, it's important that we pray in Jesus' name and we ask according to God's will. We talked about this about 3 months ago, that sometimes our prayers aren't answered because our prayers aren't actually in line with the Father's heart. And so we are asking him for things that might be directly in opposition to the character and the nature of God, but we don't know that because we haven't dug deep. And so prayer is ultimately our way that we communicate with God and we become one with him. It means that we're uniting with him and that we are looking for a singleness of purpose and thought and desire and will and reason and motive and objective feelings with God. That is the unity that we're looking for. We're not expecting, or shouldn't be, maybe I should clarify, God's will to come in line with ours. And unfortunately, I do know some people who think that's what prayer is going to do. No, our goal and our heart and what God is longing for is that our heart and will and motives and objectives will become in line with his. And in that time of prayer and communion and speech with him, we establish those things in ourselves. Prayer is calling forth what God has already purposed and predestined, and it's continuing his work of creation and establishment of his plans in the earth. Right in the very beginning in the book of Genesis, God creates the entire earth, and then he gives authority over all of it to Adam and Eve. And they walk in the garden, and they talk with him, and they have communion. They essentially, like what we're doing in prayer with God in the garden, about how to rule this thing that he's handed to him. Well, sin entered the world. They got kicked out of the garden, but the mandate to rule still existed. How do you know how to rule if you're not connecting with the one who created it all? There is a spiritual authority that is passed down through prayer that if we understand that, we get to add legs to the thing that God wants to do in the supernatural realm on the earth that he has submitted to our authority. Did you know that? It messed with your head a little bit. I literally sat studying this week going, I just got to make sure that I can get my hands on the theology of this for a second. And then I thought, it's kind of like, in some ways, I am your lead pastor. If you didn't know that, surprise. What? Okay. I have the authority to pastor this church, right? When it comes to the decisions, whether legal or spiritual or physical or whatever, I lead the board. We walk that out. How did I get that authority? It's God-given, and it was affirmed through the leadership that God placed above me. So when I walk out the authority that I have here, there are moments where I actually don't know the answer to something. I pick up the phone, and I call Pastor Craig. And I say, Pastor Craig, I have a situation. I'm not really sure what to do with it. Can you help me figure this out? And then Pastor Craig, in his wisdom, more often than not, he just has an answer. Sometimes he's got to go dig into something and get back to me. I operate in my authority that I've been given under the authority he has given me, and we just kind of have this change. Prayer is us walking in agreement with the authority that God has laid out and calling forth the plans and purposes that he has predestined and saying, you have my consent, not in one sense that you need it, and then in another sense he's given us the authority to do what it is that you want to do in the area that you have submitted to my governance. Does that make sense? So when we get together and we start calling things out, we got to know his plans and promises. We got to know the things of his word. We got to know his purposes, because we are charged. We're going to answer for how we have in relationship under the authority he's given us. We've walked that out. And he holds all the wisdom and will dispense it to us to do so with goodness and justice and faithfulness and all of the things that are true to his character. And so prayer can have this component of calling forth what it is that God longs to do. Why do we pray? Because we have to. No. There's more to it than that. Why do we pray? We pray because God's word commands us to. So we believe that the Bible is God's word, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that it still speaks to us, and his word commands us to pray. We pray because Jesus did, and if Jesus did it, well, quite frankly, it's good enough for me. If someone was going to get a pass on prayer, it would have been Jesus, and these are only a handful of the scriptures where it cites that Jesus prayed. Jesus was praying all the time. He was always going away to talk with the Father and to walk out prayer model. And so if Jesus prayed, how much more significant is it for us that we would engage in prayer? We pray because the early church demonstrated it. In the early church, they often were praying on their own. They were gathering together for communal prayer. We have all of these examples of prayer that are laid out in Scripture. And so we realize that it's a vital part of not only personal life with Jesus, but corporate life as well. When it comes to reasons we might find ourselves praying, we see in Scripture that people pray to seek God's favor. One author says that this is Moses' favorite way of imploring God in prayer. Hey, God, you're a favorable God, so show some favor to me. We pray to seek God's favor. We pray to pour out our soul to the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, it's the passage where Hannah is barren, and she is desperate for God to move in her life, and she's at the temple year after year begging God for a child, and the priests show up and go, lady, why are you so drunk that you look like a crazy woman out here? And she says, no, I'm just praying to the Lord. Like, I'm pouring out my grief and my anguish to him. Prayer is a way that we can pour out our grief and anguish. And for the record, don't ever let anyone tell you that God doesn't want to hear that, because he does. I've been in a lot of prayer meetings where someone has been wrecked by something going on in their life, and some well-intentioned saint told them that prayers are happy and they're perky and they're bubbly and they're not down or negative or whatever. Sometimes you go before the Lord and you pour your soul out. And he longs for that. He cares about that part of you too. And so you can find yourself praying for that reason. We pray to cry out to heaven. There may have been moments in your life already, there might be moments to come, where you just don't know what to do but to cry out. Have you ever seen a kid cry out to a parent? Yeah, like in general, but I mean, I'm happy to provide some illustrations. Why do they do it? They do it because there's something they desperately think that they need, right? Or that they desperately think that they want. We get to cry out to heaven in the same way. And so I think of a time about a year and a half into being in here, in my personal walk, where I was on the floor here crying out to heaven because my best friend's one-year-old was bleeding from his brain and having strokes, and they didn't know what to do. I cried out to heaven because I had nothing else. I poured out my anguish, I poured out my grief, and I screamed at heaven's door because I needed God to do something, because I knew this couldn't possibly be his best plan for this family. You cry out to heaven for things that are incredibly heavy and compelling and real and there, and you seek God in it. We pray to draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He's there. We just got to kind of settle things down sometimes and lean into it and recognize that. We pray because we're kneeling humbly before the Father. It's interesting that in Scripture, the first way that we really see God is this creative God, but the way that Scripture repeats our relationship with him more often than not is as a father. And we come and we kneel before him and we recognize that he truly is Lord of all. We pray to be strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just need to get stronger. We're struggling, right? We're wavering. Maybe we feel like life's pressures are pushing in on us and we just need strength. And the scriptures say that we pray and we are strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit as he inhabits us and wells up inside of us. We pray to align ourselves with God's will. Sometimes what my will wants isn't what God wants. And sometimes it's not an easy sell to me to get in line with what it is that he wants. Does anyone ever have that moment other than me? Never. No, okay. So I'm totally on my own over here struggling this one through. So maybe I want more money so I can be more generous. And he says, no, I'm going to take some money away and you're going to live with less and you're going to be generous with your time. Yeah, my will might not like that message so much, right? And so I might need to spend some time talking with him so that he can bring little old me in line with big, amazing him to get where he wants me to be so he can do what he wants to do. Sometimes prayer is a way that we get in line with God's will. When do you pray? All the time. Yes, it's very simple. It's not like there's not a pass on it, but I think part of the reason that this question becomes so big to people is that we think like prayer meeting prayer, right? Like when I say pray all the time, you're like, that's a 24/7 prayer meeting. I don't have time for that. Having children taught me that prayer can look very different. Prayer can be, Lord Jesus, help me while I wash the dishes. Prayer can be 5 minutes while I'm washing my face in the bathroom. Prayer can be as heartfelt in a short amount of time as it can be in a long amount of time. And there are moments where we go away and we do what the scriptures say. We go in a room and we close the door and we get on our face and we fall down before him and we shut ourselves in with him and we have that time. And then there are other times where it's just this passing thing throughout our day. It's this constant expression of little things here or there, okay? And so we are praying all the time without stopping. And fun command, always be joyful. That one's a freebie in there today. Just teasing. You know, it's easier to be joyful when you're praying. It's a true story. It's so much easier because sometimes I realize while I'm crying out to God for my friend whose child is in sick kids for like 6 months, that the thing I thought was so big in my life maybe wasn't as big as I thought it was. Or the struggles in other areas or whatever, I can see joy because I can see God working through other things. And I develop joy when I see the answers to his prayers as they come forward and I get to be thankful about those things and give him praise for the things that he's doing. And joy is just cultivated in this place of prayer. And so today, if you might think that's a really strong always, the more you pray, the easier it is to be joyful. It's just a really cool outpouring. How do we pray? Clearly, I missed the action on these slides. There isn't a proper physical posture for prayer. The most significant matter when you pray is the posture of your heart. We are forever having this battle at my dinner table about how you say grace. Do you say grace while everyone is still reaching for food and pulling forks and smashing down salad dressing bottles and shouting across the table? Do you pray while mom is at the oven still and everyone else is sitting down and we're like, no, we gotta wait till we're all centered, till we're all here? Do you have to close your eyes, contrary to popular belief? No. I know, earth-shattering news here this morning. You don't have to, but the truth of the matter is that the reason a lot of people have that habit is because it blocks out the other distractions. It allows you to focus in. It allows you to center. Why do people fold their hands? There's a lot of different theories on that. I promise you, if you don't, he still hears you. Some people will kneel down. This morning in the prayer room, I was kneeling, and I'm pretty sure I heard Patrick possibly say that I fell. I just needed to be in a place where I understood he's physically demonstrating he's over all of it. I'm underneath his care. There is nothing I need to worry about in that place because he's got my back. Sometimes maybe it's prostrate on your face on the floor. Maybe it's laying across chairs. Maybe it's standing and singing and shouting. There is not actually a proper physical posture to prayer. It's more about the way that you posture your heart. And so you can physically be any way you are, but your heart is in the right place. So what does that look like? Well, maybe you pray with your eyes open. Maybe you like to stand. Maybe you watch The War Room and you want to go sit in your closet and you rip things out and you got pieces of paper on your wall. It's between you and Jesus. The how isn't as big as the why, and that you're doing it and you're walking it out and that you're living in that place. And let's be clear, your heart can be in a bad place if you're praying all the time still. It could be rebellious. It could be unsubmitted. It could be hard. It could be, you know, so you pray with your eyes open. And I say on Sunday morning that we're going to have a salvation call. So everyone in the building is going to close their eyes except for me, because this is between you and Jesus. And I just want to be able to pray for you. And you pray with your eyes open. And so you're going to leave your eyes open in the back because Pastor Steph doesn't know how I do this. Is it necessarily a bad thing? No, but if your heart's in a bad place, well, that's not so good, right? It's the little things. It's about how we posture our heart. If prayer is a conversation between us and God, then it stands to reason that we talk to him like we talk to the people that we respect and honor. Now, this might be a little bit of a hard point in our culture to get. I was raised in a home from a first-generation immigrant family who had lived in POW camps and done war life. There is respect and there is honor, and you don't mess with those things. There is a way that you interact with people who are older than you. There's a way that you sit at the dinner table as a child and how you engage in those things. We were taught those things from a very young age, but many among us, particularly who are older, could attest that we might really have lost a culture of honor in the generations that are coming up. And we engage with everyone the same way. We don't recognize positions of authority. We don't necessarily honor our elders the way that they do in other cultures or in scripture times. There's a lot of room for us to establish some more honor there. But picture it this way. When Pastor Craig comes in as our district superintendent, we honor him, right? Like we've prayed for him, we've given him a place. He's our friend, and he engages with us as a friend also. But you will find, I'm going to share Pastor John's story. I didn't check this out. Hopefully it's okay, but he's been pretty vocal about it. When Pastor Craig and Wendy first started coming to the church, if Pastor John was on to lead worship, he would really struggle that Sunday morning. Not because he couldn't lead worship or anything had changed, but his boss just walked in the room. You'd often catch him saying that. He's like, oh, my boss is here. It's good to revere the people who are in authority and leadership over you. You just understand that place. Did that mean that Pastor John didn't speak to Pastor Craig? No. He asked how his day was going. He engaged in him, but there's a respect there and there's an honor there. Not that he doesn't respect and honor other people, but it's different. You need to engage with God like that, but at the same point, you still talk to him the way that you talk to people. So you might struggle with how do I like verbalize my prayers? Verbalize them like you talk to someone that you respect or you honor. If they were to walk in. So in your mind, like right now, picture someone who you respect or honor. Everyone got someone? Anyone need a minute? Do you speak to that person in King James? More often than not, it's a no. There might be some. You speak to them with respect and honor. You temper your conversation that way, but you still sound like you, right? When we talk to God, he just wants to hear you. He wants to hear your heart. So sometimes I find it might be helpful at like in the initial stages of learning how to pray, I would just like imagine he was actually in the room with me. And I know people who have actually like set out a chair because it was easier for them to have some sort of visual thing there. He's not like so abstractly far off that it's like you're shouting in this room and he's light years away. He's all around. He's right there with us. And not only is he longing to hear you, he is actually longing to speak back to you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That we pour out our heart, and then if we hit pause and we listen, he'll pour out his back to us. It might be through a scripture that he brings to light. We might hear the still small voice. If you get a shout, look out, that's a big one, pay attention. He speaks back. That is the beauty of a living God. He's not some idol made of stone who doesn't respond. He's living and longing to engage with us. Now, if you know the Lord's Prayer, believe it or not, I am still old enough that when I was a kid, we said the Lord's Prayer every day to start the school day. Shocking. But many people recited the Lord's Prayer for a season of time, and everybody knew it, right? You sing the national anthem, you say the Lord's Prayer. Done. That was life in Canada 37 years ago. Hard to believe it was that recently. It feels like when people talk about it, it was much further than that. The reality is, the Lord's Prayer is a great prayer, but what we need to get out of the Lord's Prayer is not necessarily that we've committed it to memory and can recite it on command. It's the understanding of the model that the prayers include worship of God, trust in God. It included an element of requests, of confession and submission. Okay, so those are things that our prayers can include. When I was in youth group, we used to talk about an Acts prayer. And they would say, hold your fingers up. And if you don't know how to pray and you're struggling with where to start, first you're going to adore him. Then you're going to confess the things that you need to repent of. Then you're going to have thanksgiving. A-C-T-S. Why do I have extra fingers? This is bad. This is going very bad. Yeah. I used the microwave too much this week. And the last one is supplication. And so you lay your request before him. So that was the way that they taught it then. I just put up an extra finger. That's what it was. My gimpy thumb didn't stay down. There is another option, which I heard this week, that I think actually is pretty cool and much simpler along the lines of what we're talking about. And this apologetics guy was talking about how all the people under his authority, he teaches them that they have to pray in a SIP method. And it stands for specifically, that when you pray, you need to think specifically about what you want to pray. Okay, so today I am praying about the lost. Okay, I'm specific. I'm praying about the lost in my family, or the lost in my community, or the lost in the world, or whatever. So you're specific. The I stands for intelligibly. It's a big word. Your prayer doesn't need to sound like, and I don't know, whatever you want to do in the world, God. Is that not painful? And yet sometimes we sit down to pray, and it's just like everything's gone, and we're putting in all of these filler words, or we feel like we have to draw a prayer out. I struggle sometimes when I go to people's houses and they know that I'm a pastor and they want to pray for dinner, because the prayer like multiplies in length past anything I'm sure they've ever prayed for dinner before. And I know that that's what's happening, because there's a lot of filler words. It's not that it's right or wrong, but we need to pray intelligibly. God has given us intellect. We don't, for the most part, we don't converse that way on a regular basis with people, so we don't have to converse that way with God. We think about it, we're specific, we're intelligible. And then the last one, which might be controversial in evangelical circles or not, is persuasively. That when we come before him and we're bringing our prayers before him, we are not passive about our prayers, we're persuasive. Think about those kids that I was talking about earlier. When they want something, they're not passive about it. When they're coming, my kids are seldom passive about a request to go to Dairy Queen. It is a full-on, direct assault, one sentence, and I'm going to hear about it. I know when they want to go, I know how they want to go, and sometimes they'll tell me how they figured it. We can find the money to make it happen. Right? When we're praying in line with His will, but it doesn't have to be this complicated thing. It's full sentences. It's complete thoughts. Your prayers should actually sound like they came from you, because they are your prayers. It's not a big deal. And so we don't have to be afraid when we come to like a corporate prayer meeting that we didn't pray like somebody else. Because quite honestly, if God wanted their prayer, He would have had them pray twice. He's looking for your prayer, for your expression of your heart and what He's longing to do. Now listen, in terms of the how also, for some of us, we might struggle verbally. Maybe we're not talkers. So you can write your prayers down. Maybe you like to sing. You can sing your prayer. Maybe it's helpful if you stop first and reflect on the fact, like we said earlier, that God is in the room with you and longing to speak back to you. How we pray matters, but it's not in the way we think. There's not a magic formula. There's not, you know, the secret stand up, sit down, kneel to the left, dodge to the right, throw in a couple extra amens, and He heard that one. And I'm not trying to be trite about it, but I need us to understand that it really truly is about the state of our heart, and that's what He's looking at. If you get to the end of your prayer and you forgot to say amen, still okay. Still counts, because He knows the place of your heart. And sometimes I think, especially for those of us who have been raised in certain lines of church expressions, we can get really hung up on some of those things because we've been taught that the process really, really matters in terms of the function in it. And what God is really looking at is our heart. And so this morning, I'm going to give you this last slide. I hope that I bullet pointed them. I did. These are types of prayer, okay? So if you've been sitting here going, this was a waste of my Sunday morning, I knew all of this stuff, Pastor Steph, I've been praying for longer than you are alive, then I want you to take the opportunity in this refresher course to consider the types of prayer that I'm going to put up on the screen, and if you have engaged in each of them recently. Okay? So, the first kind of prayer is a prayer of faith. Has anyone engaged in prayers of faith recently? Yeah. This is one that, for the most part, as believers, we kind of step into fairly easily. Prayers of agreement. We often see that during corporate prayer times. On Thursday nights when we gather together here at the church for revival prayer, which you are welcome to join us for, and we would love to have you, someone will pray out and you will hear other people in the room going, yes, in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, so be it. That's right. That's right. God, pour out your spirit on that thing. We just come into agreement. You will hear prayers of agreement in corporate prayer. A prayer of request or supplication. I would like to suggest that 98% of our prayer life falls into this category in Western culture. It's the easy one, right? I got a lot of needs, and I serve a God who can meet them. God wants, He wants our prayers of request or of supplication, but there's a lot of other things in our prayer life that He is looking for also. Prayers of thanksgiving, focusing on what God has done. So oftentimes you'll hear those at Thanksgiving. And if someone has been healed, right? Or we've had some sort of miraculous thing from God, but we might fall away from those a little bit on a more consistent basis because we might not actually be focusing on what He's done. Prayers of worship, focusing on who God is. Prayers of consecration, where we set ourselves apart to follow God's will. I don't hear a lot of those prayers. Doesn't mean they're not out there. I usually hear them at youth camp at the altar. Jesus, I will go where you want me to go. I will stay where you want me to stay. I will marry who you want me to marry. Set me apart for you, Jesus. I think that as adults, sometimes we might have a tendency to remember that He still wants us to set ourselves apart to follow His will. That's not just a thing of youth. It's something that we do the whole way through. And maybe you're part of a group or a person who does that, and I just want to say kudos to you, because it is really important to set yourself apart to follow His will and to do that fully meaning it. Prayers of intercession. Intercession can look like a couple of things, and there are honestly about three or four different ways that this one can break down, but as a general label, intercession is a request for others. So maybe for healing for someone else, for salvation for someone else, for God to show up in their life. Prayers of intercession. I really like this one. I suggested to Leanne I might not be praying this way enough. Prayers of appreciation. Asking God to judge the wicked and avenge the righteous. Okay, most of those prayers are in the Old Testament, and I think most people would argue that under the grace of the New Testament, we should pray them a little bit differently. But let's be honest, there are moments where life has gotten a little tough, and maybe you, like I, have gone to the Lord and said, I have walked rightly before you. They have come against me in a way that just is not only not honoring of me, it's not honoring of you. And so, God, I give this to you. God, would you just vindicate? Would you make it right? Would you do what you need to do? And would you just, I have had to pray that prayer. Appreciation. It's a doozy. I don't think it's to be taken lightly. But the reality is that if you're going to pray that prayer, you need to know His will, and you need to know what the other side of that situation looks like, right? They are there in the Bible, and it is a form of prayer that is laid out for us. The last one that I have on here for you this morning is praying in the Spirit. And that is a really vital part to staying active and alive in our life and prayer life and relationship with the Lord. But my question for you this morning is, in this list that is by far not exhaustive, because it doesn't cover things like warfare prayer and things like that, in this list, you don't need to put up your hand, you don't need to respond. Just consider for a second, are your prayers diverse, or are you falling in one area? Because this is our challenge this morning, is that God longs for us to talk to Him, and He longs for us to hear Him talking back and to have this relationship, but He doesn't long to only hear our complaints. He doesn't long to only hear the things that we are expecting Him to do. He's looking to hear our worship and our thanksgiving and our agreement with others that we live in community and relationship with, and faith rising up in us. And so we have the opportunity to develop our prayer life when we engage in the Scriptures and we understand fully what it is, and that it's just us talking to Him and that He is actively listening. Does any of you find that helpful this morning? Yeah? Okay, excellent. Like I said, there are PowerPoint slides in the back. If you would like them, you can see Billy, and if somehow I don't have enough of them, I'm happy to print off more, and you can take it with you and dig into it. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call or stop by the office. I'm happy to help out with you. One of the things that I think we need to be intentional to cultivate in our Sunday morning times of worship is an understanding that we don't all come in at the same place or with the same level of understanding. And even those things that maybe we've known for a long time, we all have room to grow in them. We all have room to develop and to engage at a deeper level and to draw close. And so this morning, thank you for taking the time to do that with me.